Go.
So, Di, welcome for back mudders and any new members tonight to the ship. We're going to discuss some of the interesting shiners about Corona. But before that, the Meister shiners, which come up through the Corona period, and of course, the Mishpat and based in has reached many different types of shiners in this period of time. But before that, we need a bit of a hapdoma, a bit of introduction on some of those shiners. So we're going to start building up the shiners, Meister Shahoyus that came about through previous years' experiences in Beis Din, and then relate it to our Corona shiners where we move forward. Let's see how far we go. So let's go to our first shiner. Now, if you bring up the Marmokomus, you'll see the picture. The first picture over there, it's a Meister Shahoyu Kachoya that came up in such a shiner. Now, a group of people had booked their holiday in a certain hotel to take place over a period of time, 5 days away in a nice setting in a hotel, relaxing environment. And unfortunately, after 3 days enjoying the hotel actually caught fire. You see over there pictures, I think that's Continental Hotel on fire over there. Huge fire took place, and everyone was evacuated from the building and sent home packing. So, of course, it made claims to saying that we only received 3 days worth of holiday and we need to get our 2 days back compensation on the 2 days and compensation for being on top of that, obviously, besides the 2 days back, our money back and plus compensation for what happened that we had to interrupt our holiday period. And the hotel claim said, what can you expect from us? It was a complete onus, and we received your money. Thank you very much. We don't return the money. So Meister Shahoyu came to Beis Din, not exactly this Continental filer, but a similar shiner where a hotel went on fire, the exact shiner came up. And the shiner is, are the customers entitled to get their money back? Are they entitled to get their money back in such a case? Or do we say they already paid, onus happened, don't have to return it? Do you have to return the money, the hotel, or they don't have to return the money under those circumstances when such an onus happens of a fire in a hotel, a local fire, not obviously a countrywide fire over here? So that's the first shiner. What did Beis Din pass in such a case? How's Chosha Mishpat going to view such a thing? Any ideas that's there? Just not obviously giving the right answer or anything, or giving a spot answer, but just svaras. How would one want to look at this shaila to decide whether you get it back or not under those circumstances? What would one be thinking? How would one approach such a thing in logical
I
terms?
didn't get what I paid for. I didn't get what I paid for, so I would assume I would get back at least that.
Okay, so Martin is saying that you only pay for what you get. Now, what's the claim against, what's the other side of the coin that you can
Many of the
suggest?
hotels have contracts that specifically say, act of God, we're not responsible for
And therefore,
it. Therefore, the hotel would be putter.
if it has that
you
contract
bought them
clause.
from damages, but they still didn't provide you what you paid for.
They couldn't
But
provide
whose mazel
that.
is that? That's the customer's
They
mazel.
couldn't
Meaning
provide that.
the hotel's off the
It
hook, so the
wasn't.
customer's bad mazel. He had a fire that interrupted his stay.
So, what are you saying? It's customer mazel. Customer mazels. What does customer mazel mean?
Meaning, who was impacted by the fire? Does the hotel take the loss? Does the customer take the loss? So, if we say that the customer's taking the loss, we're basically saying it's his mazel, his loss because of him, not because of the hotel.
Okay, so in other words, let me just put words into Tully. He's saying, if you buy something and the next day it blows up, or so it caught fire, nothing, no default in the actual item you bought. It happened to caught fire, yeah, act of lightning struck it, yeah. Can you go back to the shop and say, hey, I bought it with intention to use it for 6 or 7 years, and I didn't get what I was intending to get out of this object, which is supposed to last 6 or 7 years. So give me my money back. Can you do such a thing?
No.
No, because you bought it.
Oh, but
You
this is
bought
not a
it. Your
purchase.
mazel. You bought it. Your mazel. So the shiner here is, how do we look at this rental that's taking place over here in a holiday in a hotel room? Are you looking at it like they're providing a service, which is Mattis is saying, and therefore I paid for what I get, and I don't have to pay for what I don't get because It's service. I only paid for what I received. Or do you look at it, they've actually acquired something, and now it's theirs, and if anything happens afterwards, it's like they bought something, something happened, an act of God on their own item, and you can't go crying back to the sender. That's the two ways of looking at it, at this, what's happening in this relationship between the renter and the renter and the owner. What type of relationship do you build up when you rent a room in the hotel? What type of thing? So let's look at the Bahamas.
We might be able to. I think we might be able to borrow something from Hilchos Eruv Chatzeros there, because the halacha is, at least with Moshe Paskins, that when you rent a hotel room, if the hotel has the right to move you to a different room, and you can't object as long as you're getting the same, you know, same whatever, then it's not really considered a rental of the room, and so you don't have to make any Eruv Chatzeros because it's all the hotels with shus. So I think you would be able to say the same thing here, unless...
Let's go back to the concept. Can they remove you to a different hotel?
A different hotel? Hotel, no, but a different room.
No, okay.
Yes.
So here, the whole hotel went up in fire, and there's no option to go to another hotel. So therefore, how do we look
right,
at
it? Right, but the point is, I'm not renting.
You're renting a room in the hotel?
I'm not renting a room in a hotel.
Yeah, you're renting a room in a hotel, but they have rights to define what your rent, which rental of the room they have. Yeah? It's like, there's two types of rental contracts. Yeah? There's Stam rental and a specific item you rental, and that's even mentioned in the Gemara. So let's call it Stam, but Stam that's limited to the hotel. So what is the halacha when you rent something and now it's impossible to get replaced, and you're not mechuyev to get replaced because the only rent was the whole hotel, anything in the hotel, but nothing outside this hotel. So let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says about how do you look at this relationship. Let's go to Amar Makomas. And the Shulchan Aruch says the following. The Shulchan Aruch and Machabe says like this: Hamaske b'aisan chaver lizman. You rent out a house to your friend for a period of time. Im atzmo nofel. It fell down by itself. Im omle b'aizeh ani maskele. He says, this house I'm renting to you, not another house, any room in this house, doesn't matter which room, any room in this house, but only this house, but no other house. So obviously when it falls down, I don't have to build another house for you to rent. And then therefore you lost. So what do you do as far as forcing me to build a house as the owner to provide you the rest of the rental contract, that you can't do? What about the actual payment for the rent? And payment, we only go back after what you used. You, whatever you use, you pay. And whatever you don't use, you don't pay. That's like Matters. Matters says you only pay for what you received. You only receive 2 days, 3 days. You pay for 3 days. More than that, you don't have to pay, even though the whole rental was for a week or 5 days. That is as far as the Machaber goes. Comes along the Ramah and says, Nisrafa bias, if the house burns down, Dina Kanofel, burning the house down is like the house falling down. Okay. So the Machaber just told me that if it falls down, you only pay for what you use. So I think the Ramah is not telling me anything. The Ramah is not saying anything different from the Machaber. He's saying it's the same. But what's interesting, and the Smart points this out, and the Nesivos points it out, what does the Ramah mean when the house burns down? It's like falling down. If you look at the Ramah himself on the tour, the Dark Emoji, he says, he brings the Mordechai inside and he says, Kosev the Sochlitz and no Kol Aschiris. Now, even though it's burnt down and even if it's fallen down, you still have to pay the whole contract rental, even though you didn't get the whole thing. So, therefore, the Achronim say, this is the machlokas between Machaber and Ramah. How do you look at a rental contract? Do you look at the rental contract as that I'm paying for services? And whatever I receive, I pay because that's what I'm paying for. Whatever I don't pay because it's service, lieu of services. Or that's the Machaber. So therefore, you don't pay for what's fallen down afterwards. And those days I don't pay for. Or do you say, like the Ramah learned, on the other hand, that renting is like buying. And as Atzei Gemara says, that Schiris is like Mecha. It's like you bought. And just if you buy an item, it's now totally yours, and you can't come crying, and the act of God happens afterwards to say, hey, give me my money back, I can't use it. So also by rental, you've bought those days for 5 days, you bought those days for 7 days, and those 5 days are now totally yours. You can't come crying and say, act of God, stop me having enjoyment of all 5 days. Well, that's like when you buy something and you can't now use the whole thing as you expected because of act of God. You have to suffer the loss and still pay for the whole cost of that rental because you already bought it. You have to pay for what you bought. So you have to pay the whole rental. So it seems to be, on Pashto's way we're looking, is a machlokas between Machaba and Ramah. When you have a case, in our case, between there's a fire over there, can't use the whole 5 days, 7 days of your holiday, do you have to pay the whole lot or not? Machlokas machaburama. Now, what are we going to do if it is a machlokas machaburama? What are we actually going to pass in the Maisa? Do they get their money back or don't they get their money back?
Depends if you're Ashkenazim or Sephardim.
And if you're Ashkenazim or Sephardim, what would you pass them if you're Ashkenazim?
If you're Ashkenazim, you follow the Ramah and you have to pay for the whole thing. And if you're Sfar, then you can rely on the Mechaber and get your money back.
No, you've forgotten, Tully, and what Ashkenazim do. No,
say Kimle, you can't.
You, Ashkenazim don't follow Ramah in Choshev Mishpat. They follow whoever's Muchsuk. If there's a Machlokas, doesn't matter what Ramah and Mechaber say, who, whatever opinion they say, if there's a Machlokas about it, Ashkenazim say, wherever the money is, stays where it is, because they can say there's opinion there out me supporting me. So according
to with no shiurim.
Yeah, so according to the Ashkenazim, if you already paid for all the 7 days of holiday, 5 days of holiday, then if you can only use 3 days, and there's an act of God that stops you using the other 2 days, like a fire, then you're going to have a halacha in particularly this particular case. You will follow Ramah, not because the Ramah we always follow, but because the money is in the hands of the owner of the hotel already. He's already got the money. Does he have to give it back? No, he won't give it back because he says that, you know what, Kimli, there's a Ramah out there that says you bought something there. It's your problem. It's not my problem to give you back the rental. That's what the Ashkenazim Lecho would say and in such a thing as an act of God. Takes place. Okay, so we're developing this shaila. Now we've already, Mats has already preempted everything. Is a hotel exactly like a rental? There's a great sad to say that it is like a rental, or you can say like Mats, that's not like a rental. So now we have a personal machlokas between Boti Dinim. Is hotel a rental or not? Or is it? Everyone agrees it's like services. And why should it be different? Because like Matz's point is that they can move you from different rooms to different rooms. So that in itself proves that you haven't got a solid ownership on one particular room through rent. So even Ramah would say that it's a contract not for rent, it's a contract for services. And therefore even Ramah would agree with it. That's Matz's shouting out over there. And a lot of brothers didn't do go with that Mahalif, even Ashkenazi, that hotel is not rental because of that. But some say it is rental, but it's like a limited type of rental. It's a rental that's saying not for a specific room, but for the room wherever you're going to be in that hotel. And therefore, whatever room they provide you, you're going to have ownership as a rental. And the raya of that is called a rental. If it's just services, they can put you in a different hotel. But you don't have to stay in the same hotel. They can put you into another hotel. See, the raya, the proof that they can't put you to another hotel, obviously, it's a rental of a room in that hotel, any room in that hotel, which is called stam schiris. And if the whole stam schiris has gone up in smoke, so then you have the same halacha over here. So that is still adaptable. Will Ashkenazi Bastins in such a case get say you don't get your money back in such a case? Depends, are you going to learn like Martins' logic over here that hotels are different or not? There's room to say either part. We're not going to decide on that.
Is this only for rentals of houses and hotels or like a car? I rent a car and
The car is more of a rental, because they can't switch you. They can't switch you once they give you a car. There's a specific car, they can't switch you, just start phone you up. Okay, we've decided we're not going to give you the Mercedes that we gave you. You've enjoyed it for a day. We're going to switch you to Fords over here. They can't do that. They can't do once the car people are giving you a specific car, that's yours, and it's a solid rental of the item. And then we won't have this adaptable machlokas between Bolti Dinin, whether it's a rental or not. Hotels, there's more of a room to move around. That it's not called a rental. Cars, on the opposite, is more likely cars will be this machlokas. But we're going to tackle a shayla on cars very soon and see
Can I ask?
Menachem.
Yes.
Yes.
Following up Steve's question, Rabbi Yochanan's takana on metaltaling. So a car is a metaltal, right? So in your example, the car was given over. Had that car still been with the lender,
the company,
then the guy wouldn't have to. I mean, the
then he would have taken possession. We're talking about the car taking possession of everything. Okay, so now let's move on after that initial shayla to our next shayla. Our next shayla is the following. A person rented a car. Here we go. We go to the car rental. And what happened? Erev Shabbos, he rented this car. He was going to go away for Shabbos for a few days. And he stopped off on the way, long journey, stopped off to take a little break. And when he came back, he took out, if you go back to the pictures over here, he took out the Malmukomas, he took out of his pockets the key, and he found the key look exactly like it is in this picture, which you see in front of you. Not very usable. He wasn't be able to use it. It fell apart, half of it, the half of the key section, totally fell apart. Now, it's Erev Shabbos. He can't open the door of the car at all. And he can't even drive it, even if he opens it, because he's got no key. And he phones up the rental company. The rental company has a recorded voice on it saying, we've closed the Shabbos. They phone up the emergency things. He says, we'll get you after Shabbos. We haven't got time. So what's he going to do now? Yeah. What's he going to do? So he calls a person who's trained as a mechanic, can easily be a gunner, but he doesn't steal cars. He has the ability to steal cars, but he doesn't have the actual profession to steal cars. So when he comes in, he breaks into the car and he actually ignites the ignition. He does some temporary fix on the key that somehow it works in some fashion. And he charged a huge amount of money in order, it's Erev Shabbos and the guy's stuck. So therefore you get paid. You have to pay a high tariff for this to do the business. So now the question comes back, a shayla to Beis Din, does the renter, can he reclaim that money which he used on hiring this mechanic to be able to, at such a short notice, to break into the car, fix it temporary? Can he get that money back from the rental company, according to halacha or not? How do we, let's actually, before, obviously, this is the thing in the Kosher Mishnah, let's try and describe exactly what the case is, what the shailas could be, and then we can know where to look in Shulchan Aruch. What exactly happens over here? We're talking about a situation, person rented the car. Okay, he rented the car. So now, how do you look at it when the key breaks? Do you look at it when the key breaks as if the car's broken? Or do you look at it when the key's broken, that the car's fine, but it's something called the key that's 100 shekels that's broken? How do you look at it in such a case? That when the key breaks and you can't use the car, is it like the car's broken, or it's not the car that's broken, it's something else that's broken? How are you going to look at it?
It means I didn't provide you with what you paid for. I didn't provide you with a car that works.
Okay, so therefore, you're saying it's a car that's broken. So therefore, you rented a car and it broke. Let's just change the words instead of saying key. The car broke in the middle. Now, what's going to be the din in the car broke in the middle? Can I force you to give me a replacement, or can I not force you to give me a replacement?
Well, it didn't break in the middle. It broke without chila. I never had the car to begin with.
No, you drove it. You stopped halfway through on the journey. You started using it, you drove it, you took a little break, and then you took the key out of your pocket, and the key was broken. It just crumbled in your hand. You didn't do anything wrong to it. The key was stopping, really faulting with it. What's the halacha in such a case, where we define the lack of a key as like the car broken? What happens if you start the rental and the car breaks in the middle of the rental. Does the owner have to provide you with a replacement car or not to apply you a replacement car? What are you going to think about this?
It would seem not based on what we said so far. Just like he doesn't have to supply you with a new hotel, a different hotel, or a new house. If he didn't specifically offer, I'll replace it, or I'll reply, I'm renting you this specific car. This is the car I'm renting you, this car and no other car.
Okay, so you're going to say that, even although you could say that if you bought something, then a buzzer, you don't get replacements. If you're just getting services, maybe you should get replacement. But you're saying even in the opinion of services, it was services on this specific car, and then that's it. So that's the end of the deal. And therefore, even the machaba sort of logic would be you've lost out and you don't get any replacements. And you have to deal with it if you want to continue.
But you don't pay for any more days. Really, you don't pay for non-use, obviously.
It really wouldn't apply in worry about the skimmer situation.
But he did use it. So really the wife totally he used it.
You know, you pay for the days you use.
We got a sign off skimmers. We got a sign up of who's paying now for the repair.
Going forward, you don't have to pay, according to Machabi.
He used it. He used it for
2 days. He has 3 days left. Those 3 days he can't.
And he got it fixed. And he continued using it all 5 days.
But neither
his own expense.
Neither
the Mechaber nor the Rama would apply in the standard rental car situation, because your standard rental car contract says that the company will supply you with another car if this one breaks.
Okay.
It's not just that. When a person goes to a rental car, he's not renting this car. He's renting the use of a car for 5 days. When you rent an apartment, you're renting this apartment. If you're renting from a person, you're renting his car. When you go to a rental car, you're renting use of a car.
No, as we discussed before, but this even the Shara started, when you actually get in the car and you start moving it, they can't switch that car. And that car is now fixed to you. You've got a contractual obligation of the company on the standard thing too. In the event that we rented this car, which is yours, and no other car is rental for you, and you can't force us to give us another car, and we can't switch it, so it's only this car. But there's a rental contract clause that, you know, if it happens to break, we'll commit ourselves because of contractual reasons to give you a replacement. Okay, that's in a standard rental contract. So it says this side of the car.
Yes. I was renting a car once long term, and they called me up and switched cars on me.
Okay, they're not allowed to.
Oh, they had to go in for people or something.
Yeah, you're a nice boy. Okay, what can I say? If they want to convince you to give you upgrades, okay, you make deals with them. So let's see how the Shulchan Aruch approaches this type of shayla. So let's say it's a broken car. That's how we're looking at it. And you can't, can you force a replacement? You're saying you can't force a replacement. And he's going to have to look after himself. Let's see the Shulchan Aruch on this. And here, there's no machlokas, Shulchan Aruch and Ramon. No machlokas. Omelet, he says like this. I'm renting to you this donkey, the car in those days. I'm renting it to carry certain precious items. And then it died halfway through the journey. Just died. The car broke. It's enough money in the dead animal to buy another animal. You should buy it. Sell it and buy another animal. If it's not enough money in the carcass to buy another replacement animal, socha afilo zemeikula. Then you just rent another animal with the money of the carcass. Until you get to your destination. So the first halacha says the car dies in the middle of the derech. Then the carcass, the car itself, the renter has got rights in that car to sell it and use the money either to buy a replacement one or to rent a real one to get into the destination. Now, if you've got not enough money in neither to rent or to buy, you can't even rent a replacement, then no slow schar. You only have to pay for half the journey. You don't have to pay for anything more. So now, the question is, is what's exactly going over here. He seems to be saying the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah agrees because he doesn't argue with him. He seems to say when you rent a car, we call the Chabad the car, rent the car, firstly, you only have to pay for what you use. Meaning if you can't use it, you can't get anywhere, and it just dies on the way, act of God dies on the way, you only pay for what you use. Hold on, what's going on? Before we said it's a whole big machlokas, you have to pay for what you use or not pay for. Here it seems to say, if you can't do anything, you only pay for what you use. On top of that, he says, before you're doing that, let's see whether you can actually sell the item, the rental item, and try and get yourself to your destination. You can use the item which is broken and still get to the destination, carry on doing that. If you can't, then just pay for what you use, half the journey, not what's going on over here. It doesn't fit with the house falling down. House falling down, we said, is a whole bunch of locus. You pay for what you use, or you have to pay for everything. Here we're saying you definitely only pay for what you use, and there's even an opportunity to get the whole what you want by just taking the item and selling it and using the money in order to finish off the rental in such a case. Now, if so, let's apply it to what should come out. What should come out in our case of the car? The car breaks, because the key is called like the car breaking. The car breaks halfway through. Now, what should be the halakha? The car breaks. What should I be out of the rental?
If you sell it, you'll easily have enough money to finish your journey.
So he could, in theory, sell it. To sell the car as it is in order to get to where I need to go for the next 5 days. Yeah, that's a very easy option. And if he doesn't, or they prevent him from selling it, for sure, what does he need to pay as far as rent goes?
Only what he used.
Only what he uses. So now, he didn't do either. He didn't sell the car, and then didn't stop halfway. He got someone to fix the car. Can he get his money back or not under those circumstances? If the halach is, I can sell the car, or I just stop and pay what I use. Instead, I didn't do any of those. I fixed the car. Can he get his money back or not under those circumstances?
For sure. The car dealer would much prefer that you took a small cost of fixing it than selling the car at a loss. And, you know, it's in their interest to have you do it cheaper, but it's going to cost them less.
Well, yeah. You're making an assumption, and I don't, you know, first of all, that it cost them less. I think the Rav said that it was very expensive to make the fixing and all of that. But I would think that he would need the permission of the owner in order to expend the money on the car in order for him to get it back.
Yeah. So what he would have to do is have to phone up the owner, the car rental company, and say, look, I've got a right to sell the car. If you don't want me to sell the car, give me a replacement car. You yourself provide a replacement car or get someone to fix it straight away. Yeah. And then the company would say, okay, of course, we don't want to sell the car. We'll bring you another car because that's much better for us. And therefore, we don't give you permission to sell it. We're going to give you a replacement. Yeah. And if they can't get hold of, then of course you have to, can't go out, just stump sell it. You have to do something which is at least damage to the owner to fulfill the rights, which of course is to bring a guy in to fix the actual key. And then now you can continue. And that's what the owner himself would have said if you would have got contact of him. And therefore, of course, you can get your money back under those circumstances. So therefore, you get your money back because you can even sell the car. You can even threaten them with selling the car. Now, the question is, the big question is that how does this fit with the first case? The difference between the hotel case that burns down and the car that breaks. You're telling me in the hotel case, you bought it, according to the Ramah or whatever, you bought the hotel, you deal with it, no responsibility with the owner. He doesn't have to do anything, and you have to pay whether you like it or not. And now we're saying with a car, everyone agrees the owner is responsible. He has to make sure things work, and therefore he's going to have to pay to make sure things work. And if nothing happens, then you definitely don't pay for the whole rent. Why here does he over here? Don't we say, look, it's you, so to speak, bought the car for those 5 days. It's your problem, and therefore nothing to do with the owner. Anything happens over there, the renter has to suffer. Why over here is it different from the hotel? What are we going to answer the difference between the hotel and the car? There seems to be a steerer between the two.
in a hotel case, let's say you're renting a vacation for 5 days and you got 3 days, your first 3 days weren't affected by your next 2 days. Each one's an independent day, no relation to the next. So I got 3/5 of the value, exactly 3/5. And therefore you had that machlokes about, do I get the 3/5 or pay in full? Mashain can a car, especially in the case you described, where you're going on a journey and you only make it halfway there, it's not that you got half. You could argue you got zero because you didn't even get to your destination.
Okay, but I can switch it round the scenario and work out the hotel. You didn't get anything out of it because you were there, you know, for the bar mitzvah of the. you had to go home and you didn't get anything out of it. And the car, you actually got to your destination with the swimming pool. You're just using the car to get to the Makolit round over there. You're going to go back at the end and you got everything you like. So I can just switch the scenarios. So it can't be that, Tuli, because it's the Shulchanov setting a blanket rule over there. It can't be just the story behind why you bought the car or why you rented the car. That can't be the reason, Tuli. We have to have a more solid halakhic difference between this car and this hotel business, I think.
You said the hotel, the person is buying, so he's an owner, and he takes a certain responsibility. With the car, he's a renter, and he takes no responsibility.
So that is the mathematics. The hotel, he's there's a sub to say he's a buyer, okay? So to speak, on those 5 days. In the car, he's no sub to say he's a buyer. Now, why in the car there's no sub to say he's a buyer? That's the mathematics where Nachum says that's the answer. But why? Why is the car definitely not a buyer of those 5 days of the car? In the hotel, yeah, I can hear he's a buyer of the room for 5 days. What's the difference? Why one can't be a buyer and one can be a buyer? We haven't answered the question. We just explained the mathematics behind what the answer is. But what's the logic behind that difference?
Karka versus metaltilin? I haven't thought it through. I mean,
you can't just say statements without explaining the logic of it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The lawyers do all the time. Yeah, the lawyers do. And the judges who are good enough can just wait the nose when they're talking nonsense and just talking, as lawyers often do. Yeah.
Mattis, I'm glad you're back.
Okay.
Did you see the grin on my face when I said that? Sorry.
Yes. Okay. So let's move on.
I rent the donkey or car.
Go ahead.
No.
Rent it for a very specific purpose. You can't say I'm the owner. I can't do whatever I want with it.
Okay. Of course you can't do what you like with it. But we're saying what you've taken and what your rights are, you're considered a sole owner on those rights. And if any affects those rights, it's nothing to do with the other guy because he's nothing to do with those rights. You're alone on it and you've lost your rights.
I might be an owner of that right, but I don't have anything in the chepza of it.
Correct. Like, you don't have anything
in the chepza. If I rent a house, I do have something in the chepza. No,
you have a certain thing in the house. Again, you can't do what you like necessarily in that house, even when you rent it. But whatever you have sole rights on the rights which you have. That's called you bought those rights, and it's got nothing to do with the other one. So we're still searching why by car you don't even have that. And if something happens, the owner is still responsible to make sure your rights are upheld. Why? I bought the rights. It's got nothing to do with the owner now. So there's an interesting Nesivus, and he says the following. And see, I'm going to ask you, what should be the conclusion based on this Nesivus? See what the Nesivus says, the following words. Tully, you're going to bring up the Nesivus? Yeah. Number 3. The Filan Stati, Nira. Lachalik. You know, there's a difference between the car and the hotel. The Bachamoz, when you give over, you're renting the car, the donkey, Mushubedis Hanavela in Mesa Chamar Lisko Chamar Acher. The whole concept over there that if the donkey dies, it now has a lien on it, the renter has a lien on it in order to use it. To sell it and get his rent get his rental fulfilled using another donkey. So the relationship of the renter to the donkey, to the car, is that he has a lien on it. He doesn't own it, he has a lien on it. The Kibadal Shibadima, since the whole relationship is a lien and not acquisition, Lo Shach Lo Remecha, you can't say he bought it. He hasn't bought it, still belongs to the owner. even when he's using it, still bothering us. What is the renter's rights in that car? He has a lien in the car to make sure his rights are upheld. Masha came by Zeb, but when he rents a house in Norfolk, Oslo, then it falls down. The renter has lost everything. The renter has no lien in the house at all. Since he has no lien, so we understand the original contract is a sale contract. So if there's no lien, then it's a sale contract. Therefore, if it's a sale contract, i.e. the renter is bought it, then all the problems is now down to the renter. He has to suffer the loss. So in other words, he's saying, the difference between the car and the hotel we look as you bought it, and then everything happens, you've lost it, the renter's lost it. With the car, we look at it as you haven't bought it, it still belongs to the original owner, and all you've got is lien on it. You've got a lien on it, got rights to make sure your rights are fulfilled on by using this item and you're selling it and make sure that you can continue the rental. You don't own it, it still belongs to it, you just got a lien on it. But if so, if that's Peshat, we come back to a simple question. We explained the mathematics, which Nachum already did, but we explained it a bit further. We haven't yet explained the logic yet. We said the house rental means you bought the house and any problems is your problem. With the car rental, you bought nothing. You've just got a lien on the car to make sure your rental contract is fulfilled. But you've bought nothing. So if anything happens, the owner, who's still the original owner, nothing to do with you, will have to fulfill that contract and make sure it's finished. So therefore, we understand what's the equation over here. We still got a question, why in the house is it considered a sale and not, that's still yours and just a lien? And in the car, it's considered not a sale, it's still the original owner's, and that you've just got a lien on it. Why is one against a lien and one is a sale? Maybe you can mediate from the actual loss from the receivers, what's the difference between the house case and the donkey case? What's the difference between the hotel and the car? Maybe for the loss of the receivers, you see, why one is a rental and one is a lien and one is a sale, maybe you can work it out from the actual wording of the receivers why one happens to be not a lien and the other one happens to be a lien.
It almost looks like they assume here that a donkey can die, but a building isn't going to be burnt or broken apart. That's one.
No, I don't see how you can assume that things. It's many, many stylists that are learning from many generations talked about houses burning down. And there's problems all the time with these burning down houses. It was a common scenario.
So when
yes.
Maybe the lashon that the chamor ovedet the novella.
Shubedet, mishubedet. It's a lien.
The donkey when it dies, there's still a value in the
novella. What are you saying?
The donkey when it dies still has the value of the novella. Mashenke in the home that destroyed is not. There's nothing left.
That's not true.
He speaks about Shabetis Hanevela is a lashon in the Mesivis.
But that's not true. You can have a room that's smoked and you have to clean it out or you have to paint it and it takes time. And that means that person can't use it at the time. It doesn't mean it's permanently destroyed.
Okay. So Menachem answered to Shmuel very well. But Shmuel's still on the right light lands. Maybe I can give you a clue. Just with this question, I can give you a clue. What's the use of these items after the onus happened to them? What's the use of the item itself? If the house falls down, what's the use of the actual house now that after it's fallen down? Has it got any use?
Yes, of course. It's got parts. It's got land. It has some value, of course.
I'm not asking if it's got value. Has it got use?
It has no use. Mashenke, the carcass certainly has a use.
So Tony's answered it. house falls down, intrinsically its use is finished. It has value that is still around it, but the use of it as has no use. You have to sell it in order to get the use, to get any use out of it. Sell it, change it into money, buy things and develop things. And that's how you're going to get any use out of it. As it is, it's totally useless. Whereas a dead chamor, a carcass, has a use as a dead chamor. What's its use? The use of a dead chamor is to sell it. It's not a piece of meat. It's a piece of meat. That's what it is. It's a meat.
A dead car is not quite the same.
So if we're saying, let's just speak it out, and then we get to add to the car. If we say, after the onus happens, it's your problem and it's called a sale, if there's no use after it, because it's totally disappeared, and therefore you have to suffer it, but it's not considered a sale if the onus happens in a fashion that it's still got use out of, as defined as something useful, like the chamor. What are we going to now define our cases over here with the car? What is that, a case of the car where the key broke? Is it got a use? Hasn't got a use?
I don't understand the logic of that chiluk. Why should I enter into a rental contract with you? Why should the status of that item when it's destroyed, whether it has a use or not, depend on our deal? When I made the deal with you, whether it's a sale or not.
So, okay, so
I understand the star of that.
So, if it's a type of, you're renting a type of item that will still, by nature, have a use, even when it's you can't use it for your natural rent. So, by definition, the original relationship was: look, even when it goes up in smoke, so to speak, it's still useful. So, therefore, since it's still useful, you know what? I don't want to buy it. It's more beneficial for me to not buy it, keep it by you, and create a lien on the item, because I've got a chance that even when it gets destroyed, I can use that lien to be able to enforce the rental, which is what I really want to do at the end of the day. But if by nature, if it's it gets destroyed, it's no way of having use out of it. Therefore, I say, forget it. I don't want to take such make a lead on such a thing. Just stay with the normal thing. I'm going to buy it. So I'm going to buy it for 5 days. And I'm in control over here.
That seems very strange. That's people's das. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. Anything can be destroyed or partially destroyed.
Now, whose
das? The animal also could
whose
be torn
das
down.
Is it? Whose das is it dependent on? Not the renter, but the owner. What does the owner want to do when he's renting this out? Is he wanting to maintain ownership and just give you a right of a lien on it? Or he wants to just give you ownership for 5 days? If he can see to himself that there's ways of using it even after it disappears, so to speak, he wants to maintain ownership on it. He won't give you, and he'll just give you a lien on it. So therefore, by the chamor, he didn't give his ownership up. He kept it for himself, gave you a lien to make you comfortable, and therefore, when it dies, you can enact that lien if you want or not. But the ownership of the actual carcass but remains his.
So you're saying the din is the same by the chamor if the chamor burns up to ashes and there's nothing left?
So what happens if the chamor burns up to ashes and there's nothing left? So therefore, we're going to say, since that's a very unusual case, let me come on to the unusual thing. Since the original contract was, I'm not giving you ownership, I'm giving you lien, because I don't expect that to happen. So when it burns up, you never took ownership, and therefore you won't have to pay for the rent for the next 5 days. You only pay for what you use, because I never bought it. I only had a lien because that was what he gave me. You can't just change the deal after the fact when you know about it, or to know the standard fact over there. That's what it seems like. Now, please therefore relate it now to our case of the car. Is the car like the house where he's bought it, or is the car like the lien case and therefore he hasn't bought the car at all?
More like the lien case.
More like the lien case. So therefore, we've maintained our position. We just understand our position. In the hotel, you bought it. So therefore, you have to pay. But in the case of the car, you bought nothing. You just got a lien on the car. And for sure, they prefer you to fix it. So therefore, they, you can get compensated. That's where we're holding. So let's move on and see if there's going to be a slight adaption to what we said over here. Let's move on to our next case. Take up the Bacomus and see the next picture for the next Shiloh. Okay, unfortunately, this person rented a car for a week, and he got into a big, not his fault at all, a huge accident, but onus, not his fault at all. And the shiloh is not where he has to pay for fixing and all that. That's insurance. That's a shiloh. The shiloh is the rent. He rented it for a week. And this is what happened after 2 days. This happened after 2 days. What's going to be his obligation paying the rent for the next 5 days? So is that car, what is that car, the situation over there? Is that car a case of the chamor? Was that car a case of the bias? What exactly is that car situation over there? And would you then get into the question, is it something which the owner can even think about happening during such a rental? What happened during that rental? What happened to that car? Tell me what happened to that car. Look at that picture.
Burnt up.
Look at that. Is it usable?
Not at all.
Oh. Not at all. Okay.
Scrap parts.
It's got no use at all. Okay. So in theory, in which one of the two does it fit as the story? Does it fit in like the house falling down or just the chamor dying halfway through? Which of the two stories does it fit in more as a story?
The house.
So now just left one question. Does the original owner take into consideration that that is a common scenario that could happen when he rents out a car?
I mean, an accident can happen, but to total the car like that is less likely. You know, a little fender bender here and there is probably the more common thing, and therefore it's still in the renter's in the owner's interest to not fully sell it, but to make it just a lease.
Okay, so Tully's going with a logic that as far from his heart, that saying he doesn't take it into consideration that something happens. Well, if anyone wants to argue, I'm happy to hear the other side. If anyone wants to argue,
happy to hear the other side
because I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure whether the owner just ignores that possibility. I'm not so sure that he ignores that possibility.
They offer you the companies offer you extra insurance for total loss, for this, for that, for
collision. Yeah, they're definitely aware of it. Yeah, so it's not exactly unexpected. It's aware. The shiloh is, even though they're aware, are they still more keen to keep it as a lien rather than a sale? That's the shiloh over here.
That's what I'm arguing.
That's what Tully is saying. Okay, so let us see what the Tshuvas Maimonides says, an explanation. Basically, the Tshuvas got his difference from the Tshuvas Maimonides, and the Tshuvas Maimonides speaks out much more when you apply the difference between the chamor and the house, between the hotel and the car. This is Tshuvas Maimonides speaks out very interesting. When is it lien and when is it sell? He says like this: Tama de lo minin gabbai bais in yesh b'dom of lisko yisko likachika. We don't say when a house falls down that you got a lien and you can sell the house in order to get a replacement house, or you can rent out, sell that house to get a rental house. We don't say that. Why? Because it's a lien and the house is a sale. What's the difference? Meshum da chamor shemes, a chamor that dies ain omets el limko. Ridiculous. A dead carcass of a chamor, its only use is to sell. Its only use is to sell. Oh, lisko. Yeah, and therefore to sell and buy something else, or sell and use the money to rent something else. Avo bias shenofu, when a house falls down, ain't a omed limko el lachsa livnosa. House that falls down, no one's going to sell the stones over there and maybe the lands. No one's going to sell that. They're just going to rebuild the property. They're not going to sell anything over there. They're just going to rebuild it. So says the Tshuvas Maimonides, when do we say it's a lien? It's a lien when the item is destined to be sold. If it's destined, when it breaks up, to be sold, then the deal originally was, I'm not selling this to you. I'm just giving you services, promising, and giving you a lien, because if anything happens, I can fulfill that lien with money from the actual item, because that's what that item is destined for, even when it's useless, to be sold. But in the case of the house, I never in my right mind going to sell it if it falls down. I'm just going to rebuild it. So in that case, I'm not giving you a lien at all, because nothing is going to be sold here. There's no money going to be available to get what you want. You know what? I'm just giving you a sale over here in 5 days. And if you're lucky, you're lucky. If you're not lucky, you're lucky in such a case. So now we've developed what we said, that it's only a lien if the broken item is destined to be sold, and that's b'shat in the chamor. We can now come back to our three cases. The case of the hotel, it burns up. Is it destined to be sold or rebuilt?
Yeah.
Rebuilt. So therefore, it's not a lien, it's a sale contract. Okay. The car which the key breaks, is that car now destined to be sold, or is it just be fixed? What's it going to be?
Fixed.
Okay. So if it's destined to be fixed, again, it's a sale contract. There's no lien over him. In the case where the car is totaled, what is that situation? Is it destined to be sold or not?
Sold.
Who's going to buy it?
Broken up. No one's fixing that car.
Okay.
Is it going to be sold or not?
But it's not going to be kept.
It's not going to be fixed. But is it going to be sold?
But he might sell the parts himself. What's he have to sell it to?
Is he destined to sell? Is the owner going to sell those, that car?
Yes.
The parts. Yeah.
And he's going to do it himself because he wants the maximum, doesn't trust the other guy to sell it for him.
When a car is totaled, what do most people do?
They give it to an insurance company.
The
insurance company takes it. So therefore, the owner is not selling it, because to be towed away and to be deposited is a cost in itself. And basically, the owner says, look, you just take the whole thing and do what you like with it. Yeah? And because I want to limit my expenses over here, I don't want to be involved in this anymore. So he's not even going to sell it either. He's not going to sell it either. Even when it's totaled, it's not necessary. You can't say the word destined to be sold. It's omen for that's what its use is to be sold. Not use. No, I may want to sell it, maybe not want to sell it. It's a pain, it's a headache in my head. It's something in my head that's a headache at the moment. So therefore, in all three cases, specifically, two of them for sure, it's definitely not those cases destined to be sold. So if the categories is not going to be sold, then you're going to describe it as possibly a sale contract in the eyes of the Ramah and not a lien under that case. So if it's a sale contract and not a lien, then the halacha should be in all three cases. Is there any responsibility for the owner to get involved when an onus happens?
No.
No responsibility for him to get involved. And therefore, he has to pay the whole rental. And if he wants to fix anything, he has to fix it on his back. And he can't get compensation. That, as Martin says, and this is a big but, Marty says, this is unlikely to happen with the car rental unless you're renting from your friend or some private guy or something. Because all the contracts have clauses which describe what's the responsibilities when something breaks down. And if it breaks down, the responsibility of the company is always to replace it, to bring something in, to fix it. And then, in that such a case, even though without the contracts, they have no responsibilities, but they contracted themselves in to these obligations. So in the two car cases, it's unlikely that you, because when you probably rent it from a normal company, you won't have to pay, but not because of Hilchus relationship, but because of you contracted yourself into certain obligations under certain circumstances.
Let's go back for a second, because it's not clear. If there's no contract, and you have the key problem, the renter will argue that it was caused by the owner. Gave him a defective key.
Yeah, if he can prove such a thing.
If he can prove it, of course.
I'm willing to accept that as an additional fact into the case. If you can prove that it was a faulty thing from the beginning. Obviously, you gave me something which was a mum. Mikara, it doesn't work. It's obviously something which I'm not going to have to pay. You gave me something which is destined to be problematic.
What is the umdana in that case? Normally, when a key is given...
Depends. We have to hear the story. We have to hear the story. And if there's sometimes the story will say, naturally, if you've got no proof why it should break, you assume it was faulty from the beginning in such a case. But if there's some reasons why it should break along the way, that something happened to it, then we're going to... Dependent on that. But I don't want to get involved into that side issue of the story and saying, even if it was an act of God, the breaking of the key, and you can't prove it was faulty from the beginning, naturally would say, okay, you, the renter, have to suffer the payment of fixing it. But normal cases, you have a contract which defines the obligations of the owner, which will obligate himself through the contract to be able to pay under these circumstances, the patient. Yeah, we'll have to see that. And how are we doing for time? We've got just one thing we're going to do. It's going to introduce you, which is Mamish just before the Corona Shilas, to the next Shilas, just introduce you for something for you to think about till next week, how we're going to relate to this Shilas as you guys. So far, we said without contracts, natural cases we've seen over, so far is like the renter has bought it in the eyes of the Ramah, not the Machabah, and therefore any loss that happens, he's going to suffer the loss. If you go back to the Mahmukomis, just let's see the picture. I described the case, and then you can take it from there in your little head, in everyone's heads, and we'll see it. We'll see it next week, description. Now, if you go there, this happened 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, around Hanukkah time. And this, if you recognize this area, this is in the Carmel Mountains. Huge fire. That was a disaster in the Haifa area over there. And the fire you can see on the right-hand side, the after effects of that fire on the left-hand side. And the Shiloh, one of the Shilohs arose, the Shiloh came to Basin. Again, a similar Shiloh to what we started with. And the Shaila is, are we going to make any difference? The Shaila being is that people obviously rented hotels and actually started using hotels, and then they were evacuated from the area. They couldn't get everything out which they were promised to get, and now can they get their money back? So you should say, what's the difference between this and the Shaila we started with, which was the hotel falling down, having a fire? What's the difference? On that, you have to think about. All I can say is the following words. Here is not just a local hotel fire, which was the first Shaila. This was a national fire in the area of the Carmel Mountains. Now, this is what we call Makas Medina, which something is a national level, a natural disaster, which is going to lead us onto the Corona Shilas, which is also a national problem. And therefore, does Halacha therefore differentiate when it's a local problem or a national problem that takes effect and affects the relationship of the owner and the renter? And we're going to then see that Shilas related to Corona and all different Corona Shilas that came about it. Have a wonderful week. Shavua Tov, good luck. Enjoy it. I love to see you every week. Yedidim, Chaverim, also the new guys over here. Pleasure to get your interaction. Have an enjoyable week. You and your family, a safe, healthy week. And we'll see you next week, Mitzvah.
Thank you.
Shavua
Tov. Thank you.
Good
work.
Good luck.
Hey, Matis, you're going to be here next week?